Hello, everyone. I'm Crystal Bauer, founder of Live Greatly. I'm an entrepreneur in wellness and a keynote speaker with an extensive healthcare background, striving to push past the boundaries of fear to live life fully from a place of optimal health, joy, and success. Now for a quick disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are purely the opinions of the author. They are not intended to provide medical advice or treatment recommendations, and the contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or other qualified healthcare professional when you have any questions regarding your specific health, any changes to diet and exercise, and any medical conditions. So now let's jump into the topic for today's podcast, and we're very lucky to have two very inspiring guests, David Dashinger and Tamara Green. And they're the co-founders of Loving Meditations and international best-selling authors of their book, Live Calm with Cancer and Beyond. And David is a featured author, a fire lieutenant, and Grammy-nominated composer who scored inspiring music for America's most celebrated sporting events and television shows. Over 1.5 billion people have heard his music on CBS broadcasts of the Super Bowl, the Masters, and the NFL. And David is also a survivor of stage 4 cancer. Tamara is an author, a speaker, and trainer, dubbed by Elle Magazine as the soul-centered psychotherapist and meditation facilitator, and featured as a behavioral health expert on Today.com. Tamara combines her many years of professional training and life experience, such as caregiving, to create powerfully effective guided meditations that have helped thousands to achieve peace, love, and well-being. And together, this married couple creates mindful wellness stress reduction programs to empower cancer patients, survivors, and caregivers with self-love and self-care on their healing journey. So welcome. Thank you both so much for being here. I'm just so excited to hear more about all of the wonderful work you've been doing.
It's great to be here, Crystal, and we're happy to chat with you.
Yeah, delighted to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. So, you know, to start, I really wanted to hear about how your journey together began and how did all of this unfold where you're doing all these wonderful things that you are today?
Well, our journey together began a long time ago and when we first met in California, and fast forward to getting married and starting our careers and having a family. So the cancer part of it started in 2013 when I went for a haircut and the barber asked what was the lump on my neck, which was, to me, was like a complete mystery. I didn't even know it existed. So that started me on the track of going to doctors, getting biopsies, scans, and ultimately us hearing the five words that no one ever wants to hear, and that is, you have stage 4 cancer. And so that launched us into a journey that we had no idea was coming into our lives and put us in some spaces and places that, looking back on it, they were transformational. They were opportunities for us to grow as a couple and individually as a patient and caregiver, and also to take tools that we had used previously in our lives, start to apply them to the stress of major illness and to life, you know, life challenges, and ultimately to create a mission and a project called Loving Meditations, where we pay that forward to others who are similarly experiencing stress.
Wow. Well, that's such a powerful story. You know, with going through cancer treatment, my mother has gone through stage 4 cancer treatment. And I know that was about 4 years ago with her diagnosis. And it's such a shock, you know, not only for yourself as a family. And we've had so many different wonderful resources. And I'm curious what on your journey, now that you're looking back, is there anything that you think really helped you the most? Maybe your, you know, your mindset or the support that you received or anything specific that stands out?
A few things. Not, you know, the most important one was probably the support, love, and presence of Tamara during that whole time. It was huge, and I don't know how it would have been to not have that kind of support. Similarly, during that time, I don't really think integrative, some of the integrative adjunct services were available, particularly where I got my treatment, but also in other places. We live in New York, and we've been to major hospitals in New York where some of them have it and some simply don't. So we had to kind of bring our own into the mix, and those were huge, whether it was meditation or just affirmations.
Yeah, gratitude.
Gratitude, right. Body movement. And some of it was just you know, being present to what was actually happening and to the reality of losing continuity of life, possible, you know, facing mortality, certainly facing everything changing on a dime and having to regroup and handle it.
Right, right. You know, now that you have gone through all those different experiences, do you feel like that whole journey awoke some new things in you? Like, have you always been into meditation and mindfulness, or did that diagnosis kind of spark those interests and maybe a new perspective on things?
Right. I did do meditation in college, and we had done some sort of self-improvement types of courses, but in some ways those, you know, faded away, or we just weren't practicing them. So cancer was really a great moment to to go back and start to put them back into play. And those, so yeah, it was like part of the journey was, okay, this is not fun. This is not easy, but how can we make it a little more easy, a little more, more of a journey of discovery rather than one of victimhood and suffering.
Right. Yeah. That's a really wonderful perspective to have. And I listened to some of your music and it's beautiful. And I listened to your clip where you talked about the waiting room and how that is, you know, that's hard. You know, I think even for me, like with my mom, I was going with her in the beginning a lot for her scans. And it was sitting in that waiting room waiting for those results, you know, and that's where you could feel it. Because after you get the news, you can formulate a plan and then you can, you know, you can address it and you can cope, but it's that not knowing. And I think that just coming up with that music that you guys created is such a wonderful way to help ease that in a, you know, whatever way it can for people. But I'm curious, like, is what sparked that? Was it during the, you know, during those visits when you're waiting, that stress that made you think of that?
Oh yeah. There was so, well, as you know, right, you're your mom's caregiver if you were taking her to scans and things like that, doctor's appointments.
Yeah, my dad went too. And I think for me, with my healthcare background, I liked being there because I wanted to talk with the team about the plan. Yeah,
exactly. Me too. You know, I worked in hospitals for many years as a social worker, and I wanted to be there not only as a support, but you know, one of the things that you may have noticed with your mom going through it, the patient doesn't always remember what's going on.
Yep.
And so I was, you know, happy to be taking notes and reminding David what the doctor said, or putting into plan or into the daily routine of what the doctor was wanting him to do. So the waiting room, it just became so clear that it became a source of stress. Mm-hmm. You know, it was stressful. This is pre-COVID, so we showed up in person. So just even getting there and parking, paying for parking, you know, the whole thing of just trying to get there and show up on time, and then to be bombarded by negative, scary news or talk shows that were annoying just really amped up our stress quite a bit. So what David didn't say is that about 7 years prior to the cancer diagnosis, in my psychotherapy community, you know, I do a lot of meditation, and I have for many years for my psychotherapy clients and my coaching clients. And they kept asking me, oh, I'd love to have that in recording, da, 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 da. So it dawned on me, well, I think I'm supposed to be doing like a weekly meditation. And then David said, hey, why don't we record it, and I'll put music to it and even create visual, like a video to it. So it was a YouTube channel we had called Miracle Mondays Meditation, because it was every Monday. It was a huge hit. And then the cancer diagnosis comes. So the music that David put to those meditations that we put out every week was really, we got a lot of positive response about the beautiful music and the combination of my voice and what I was saying, and then the music and the visuals. People kept commenting how it created an environment for complete calm or presence or, you know, de-stressing. So we decided that after David got his clearance, he was cancer-free, that Yes, thank goodness, right? We decided, you know, we've been working together here on this kind of creating together. Why not? Let's continue to do this and pay it forward. It certainly worked with us because David's oncologist had said, you're cancer-free, but I have a question for you guys. Where are you guys? You guys always came in like cool as a cucumber and you know, optimistic and even grateful. And I never saw you really stressed out. Well, you guys were doing something because that was not this is not typical of what I see with somebody with your kind of cancer in the family member. And so we said, you know, meditation, mindfulness, and maybe body healing work, that kind of stuff. And he said, well, I want that for all of my patients and their families. And then ding, 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 the light bulb goes over our head. And that's when Loving Meditations was born. And it was always that combination of music and, you know, the guided meditation and
Yeah. And I know that both of you are really good with dealing with anxiety and the unknown and stress and those emotions. So I'm curious what tips you may have for the current circumstances that our world's going through and for people who are feeling really overwhelmed or living in a state of fear.
Yeah, it's such a great question. And I love that you're all about love. So am I. I want to start answering that by saying there's no question in my mind that this is a time of amazing opportunity, right? People are forced to slow down, spend time with their feel. It's almost exactly like when you're going through a major diagnosis and treatment like cancer, right? Not only for the patient, but for the caregiver. You suddenly are forced to slow down and you can't help but be faced with all the stuff that's going on in your life and the stuff that you've been trying to avoid, you can no longer avoid. So fear inevitably comes up during this time, and it's because it's something that's been unresolved within you, and you've used other things to try to deal and cope with the fear. You push it down by organizing a closet or drinking some wine or alcohol or, you know, shopping or whatever that may be, right? But now we're just kind of like slowing down and we can't run away from it. So emotions are, they love motion and they're coming up to actually release and leave our system. Now we keep them in, the fears stay with us as long as we create a story around the fear or, oh my God, I'm in fear. And what does that mean? You know, if you create meaning or a story, or if you judge yourself for having the fear or whatever feeling may come up, instead, you could just say, wow, I feel some fear or anxiety or whatever comes up. And if you label it, I'm afraid or I'm anxious or I feel depressed, it's better if you say I feel instead of I am. I feel depressed. You're literally allowing it to come up and release and leave because it's really trying to leave your system. And another step that you can do is actually thank it. You know, thank you. Thank you. You're probably in some ways trying to help me cope or protect myself in some way. So thank you, anxiety. Thank you, depression, whatever it may be, for trying to protect me and trying to actually do something for me. But now I'm allowing you to leave. So just by those couple little things, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, but those can be very helpful to begin to shift you out.
Yeah, that's good advice. And curious too, if you have any suggestions for those pesky thoughts that keep popping in, like if you have a fearful thought and it just won't go away, or people who have ruminating thoughts and unwanted thoughts, do you have any suggestions for how to deal with those sticky thoughts?
Oh, so many. Okay. Definitely. Well, There's so many different ways that you can help yourself, but one of them would be to literally move your body. So David talked about how even in the thick of feeling the worst during treatment, we would go out for a gentle walk, right? And just moving the body begins to help release some, you know, stuck thought. Mm-hmm. And underneath every single thought is an emotion that goes with it. It's an energy that goes along. If you really tune into your body, there's an energy that's going with that thought. That is, emotion is coming from our bodies, right? Feelings come from our kind of thoughts, our thinking. So there's emotion connected to every thought that we're having. So when you're moving your body, and sometimes we, you know, we literally get up and we're just moving or we're tapping all over.
I do that too with Qigong. Yeah.
That's it, Qigong. And we're just allowing the meridians to open up and release. That's one thing you can be doing, which helps dramatically. The other thing is, in fact, it's a really quick little process, and we can do it right now for your listeners. If everybody, if they promise that if they're driving, they're just gonna pause you for a second, because you shouldn't be driving and doing this little technique. Is it okay if I do it?
Yeah, as long as, yep, no driving while listening to this.
or brain surgery or anything.
Yes, no.
No. Just hit pause right now. Okay, so what you want to do is actually sit in a way that you can just allow the chair to support your weight, so you don't have to, you know, tense up anywhere. And it's always best if you can to close your eyes, or at least relax or rest your eyes. And you want to breathe in through your nose and allow yourself to go to that pesky thought that you just can't get out of your head. And you breathe in and be present with that thought. Exhale and create space like a smoke ring around that pesky thought. Breathing in and allow yourself to go back to that thought, that negative thought. Exhale, more space around that pesky thought. Inhale, go back to that pesky thought inside your mind. Exhale, even more space, larger and larger space around that thought. And in breathing into whatever's remaining with that pesky little thought. Exhale, even bigger space, more and more space around that thought. Breathing into whatever remains. Exhale, even more space. That space just keeps growing and doesn't stop expanding. It just keeps expanding around that thought until that thought just disappears. And you have nothing but that pure potential space. And you just kind of allow yourself to be in that for a little second. And then when you're ready, open your eyes.
Whew. That was lovely. I need to do a little shaking here and wake up after that.
Yeah. Shake your hands.
I was visualizing the sky. That's what I saw. I kept seeing expansion and clouds. That was really nice.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm curious too, with everything happening, obviously there's so much unknown. There's so much change. And I think with change, a lot of times comes fear, right? Mm-hmm. And one of my big things is trying to get comfortable with that uncertainty and trying to get comfortable with uncomfortable situations, but wondering what both of you, what thoughts you may have on how to get comfortable with the unknown. And I know mindfulness is one practice that has been helpful for me, but wondering if you guys have any suggestions.
Right. I'll take a stab at that. Yeah. And related to the world that, when I operate as a firefighter, in that we're constantly, we don't know when the phone is going to ring. We don't know what the call is going to be. And when we get there, it's going to be a scenario that we never could have dreamed of. You know, we can prepare for them, but the way that we handle these unknowns, and it's part of the job, is to have a toolbox that we do through training and through actually carrying the tools. But and having the ability to use them in those situations to mitigate the situation. So, I mean, to translate that back into real life, I think we're all starting to realize that uncertainty is the norm. Yeah. And that, you know, we have to get comfortable with it. We're actually creating a series called, it's a meditation concert series called Loving What Is. And so we can't have that guarantee of knowing that things are going to stay the same or knowing that things are going to turn out the way we want them to. Mm-hmm. But we do have the ability to be in this moment, as opposed to like ruminating and projecting into the future where not only are we going to stress out about what might happen tomorrow, but we're also going to be there in that time tomorrow and have that same stress. So it's like living it twice. We really, the more we can do to bring ourselves back to the present moment using some of the tools that we talked about, other ones, to be in the now, which is all we really have.
Yeah,
I think that can help to, if you fall in love with and get comfortable with the now, then we don't necessarily have to buy into the fear about the future quite as much.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. And you know, you were mentioning as a firefighter, and that made me think of how you can have stress work to your advantage. Like, you know, we all have stress, and I think, you know, stress management, I'm all for it. And I think we need to definitely manage our stress, but everyone has stress. And I think a certain amount of stress can push you to achieve your goals, and it can, again, push you out of your comfort zone for growth. And so there is kind of this threshold of like where maybe there's some benefit. And then when you go over that, then you can really have some detrimental effects. But I'm curious if you had training on that, because obviously as a firefighter, you're going to have so much, you know, stress. And did they teach you anything about how to, again, like have your stress response work for you?
It's becoming more and more addressed, more in the fashion where they bring in experts or teams of, you know, PTSD trauma experts, and they basically offer us tools. I was speaking with one earlier today. They have a technique called EMDR that helps mm-hmm. with PTSD and other kinds of accumulated stress or stressful events. And it's a pretty intriguing technique that can sometimes has amazing results in a short amount of time. Yeah. So they offer us the resources. It's not so much on a daily practical basis. Everybody, you know, firefighters are cool in a way that they kind of naturally know how to blow off stress. And some of that is just laughter, right? We're always like getting around, you know, busting on each other. And that can be cathartic. And certainly in real life with what's going on today, we got to laugh. We got to dance. We got to, you know, get back to that a little bit more, because that helps liberate this stuck energy. It helps activate feel good hormones. And in general, just it's a great thing to do.
Yeah. Laughter is so wonderful. I completely agree with that. Kind of leads me down a question I wanted to ask you guys about post-traumatic growth. So that's something that I'm also really interested in, is how you can look at certain situations that while they're occurring, you know, they can be extremely challenging and traumatic, but in certain circumstances, you know, when you look back, there can be positive growth that occurs from these situations. And some of the things that have been shown to help promote that are things like gratitude. And I'm curious if you've experienced any of that with, you know, the challenges that you guys both have faced.
Yeah, I would love to answer that. So when, like I was saying before, the patient, in our case, the cancer patient, really, he certainly had his journey of self-discovery. Well, I as a caregiver certainly did too. And one of the things that I noticed that was happening with me, not only was my husband diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, 4 days before that, our son was diagnosed with Lyme disease. Oh. So there was a lot going on all at once. So my mind was like, like a volcano going, exploding. And one night before I was going to sleep, I was particularly stressed and worried. Mm-hmm. And I realized, because one of the practices that I've had, several of them, but one of them I had was just to really notice what I was actually thinking and getting curious and asking my questions around it, like, well, is that true? Is it really true what I'm telling myself right now? And what I realized is that, wow, you know, I think I'm really holding on tight to a particular kind of outcome for my husband and for my son in order for me to be okay. So in other words, I wasn't being unconditional. Like in my thinking, I was being very conditional. It has to be this way in order for me to feel okay, right? Ooh, that rhymes. So what happened out of that was that I really started to go down the path of, wow, you know, I'm really attached to this outcome. David has to pull through. He's got to get better. Our son does. And I realized it was creating a huge amount of stress for me, to the point where I wasn't sleeping very well. And I'm not a worrier, but I was worried. I was really worried, right? So then I went back to, I probably took this thing that I've been kind of, using throughout my more recent years, but then I took it to a whole new level when I realized how attached I was to the outcome. And that is, you know what? I know that life is really working for me. The universe is working for me, not against me. I'm not a victim here, right? So let me choose to stay focused on how this experience is actually a beautiful gift in my life. I know certainly David did that too. He goes, you know, what if we actually look at this as a gift? This is a huge challenge, probably the biggest one of our marriage, but what if we looked at it as a gift for us, not against us? That changed everything. Then I was really authentically able to step back into my gratitude practice and say, I am deeply grateful for this experience. As tough as it is, I'm so grateful. And it completely changed my stress level 1,000%.
Wow, that's so powerful, you know, and I think the fact that you were able to really figure out that you had that belief or that, you know, that what was holding you back. And I think you having that level of awareness is just incredible. Wonderful, wonderful advice, and the power of gratitude as well, you know, to really carry you through. And wonderful story. So we are coming close to an end here. I'm wondering if there's anything else you both would like to share. And then also, how can people learn more about you? How can they access all your wonderful meditations and all your wonderful work?
Mm-hmm. We are happy to share and invite everyone to come check out what we're doing. We have an app called Loving Meditations, which it's on the iOS App Store and it's also on Google Play. And we have a book as well as some other tools and products, which are all on lovingmeditations.com.
Wonderful.
And if I could just add one quick little thing, you were asking earlier about the waiting room. So part of the app, you know, a lot of people now are waiting in their cars or they have to wait at home, you know, for their appointments. So what we have, what's called virtual waiting room TV. So you'll see that on the app as well. So you may want to check that out so you're not stressed out before.
I know, that's so important. I know. Well, wonderful. Thank you both so much. It's been such a pleasure having you as guests on the podcast. I'm going to put a link to your website and everything so that people can find you. Thank you everyone for tuning in today. You can follow Live Greatly on Instagram and Twitter at livegreatly_CO and on Facebook at livegreatly.co. And you can learn more about me and Live Greatly on my website, www.livegreatly.co. I'm available for speaking opportunities on multiple wellness topics, optimizing mental health and performance. So please reach out if I can help you or your business. And if you like what you heard today, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review and subscribing to the podcast. Until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, encouraging you all to awaken your ultimate potential.